الحمد لله، الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله، أرسله بالحق بشيرًا ونذيرًا بين يدي الساعة، من يطع الله ورسوله فقد رشد، ومن يعصي ما فإنه لا يضر إلا نفسه ولا يضر الله شيئًا. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا مولانا محمد وأصحابه وبارك وسلم. وقد قال تبارك وتعالى: وذروا ظاهر الإثم وباطنه، صدق الله العظيم. My most respected elders and brothers in Islam, it is barely 1 week from the end of the month of Ramadan. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah ta'ala accepts the broken ibadah that we have done in the month of Ramadan. And Allah Ta'ala give us a tawfiq to continue doing whatever we are doing in the month of Ramadan. One of the lessons that we can learn from the month of Ramadan is that man is made up of two parts. One is the physical body of man, and the second is the spiritual body of man. And for us to understand this, let's mention a few things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created hunger. And this hunger is a ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also. When man feels hungry, then he will feel like eating. And when he feels like eating, then when he starts eating, then he will get the strength make ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will have the strength of fulfilling his needs, whatever work he wants to do. But if he does not have that hunger, then he will not eat. And when he will not eat, then slowly, slowly he will become weaker and weaker. And when he becomes weaker and weaker, then sometimes his duties also are affected. He doesn't have the strength to do it. And it can reach a point of death also. So just as we have this physical food for our physical body, we also have the spiritual food also. Our spiritual body also needs food. And if we do not give it that food, then just as our physical body becomes weaker and weaker, likewise our spiritual bodies will become weaker and weaker, and it becomes completely dead. That is why Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned, مَثَلُ الَّذِي يَذْكُرُ وَالَّذِي لَا يَذْكُرُ كَمَثَلِ الْحَيِّ وَالْمَيِّتِ. The dead person who is making the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and another person who is not making the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is an example of a living and a dead person. What is meant by that? Was that person who is making the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is taking the spiritual food. So he is spiritually alive, he is not spiritually dead. So these hunger, etc., like is a ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like one Buzurg also mentioned, even pain is also a ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because if a person did not feel pain, you will not know there's something wrong with him. So that pain also is a ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that was the first point to understand, That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us, we have got the physical body and we got the spiritual body. So that's the first point to understand what I'm trying to say. Is that Allah ta'ala has created this hunger. Just as we have the physical, we have hunger for the physical body, we have hunger for the spiritual body also. Once we have understood that, the second point we need to understand, that after Allah ta'ala has created hunger, then you get two types of food. One is the healthy foods, and the other is the unhealthy foods. The good food and the bad food. But when it comes to the physical body, we cannot make out one list of all the bad foods and all the good foods for everyone. Because sometimes some things are good for one person, not good for another person. Yes, there are certain types of foods which help everyone. But we cannot make one whole list that this is the only good food and this is the only bad food. But when it comes to our spiritual food, and when we look at Quran and Sunnah, then understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has laid out a list of the good and the bad foods. And that list is the same for everyone. What is the list of the good foods? We got all the faraid, all the compulsory acts. Secondly, is the wajibat. Those acts that are wajib. Third is the sunnat, the sunan, the sunnat acts. And the fourth is the mustahab acts. And we look at the bad foods. That is our haram. Then you got makruh tahrimi. You got makruh tanzihi. These are the bad foods. And this list is the same for everyone. This is the spiritual list of good and bad foods. So now we have understood two points, important points. One is the hunger. And for that hunger you need food. Whether it be the physical food or you need the spiritual food. Secondly, we also spoke about is the good and the bad foods. The third point we need to understand, that when a person, he has all the physical food in front of him, he has the good food in front of him. We're not talking about the bad food. He has the good food in front of him. But you get some people that are more cautious than others. They are more cautious than others. Food is halal. But because he wants to be, he is health conscious. He's health conscious. So he won't eat that certain type of food, even though it's halal. So that person, we will see, this person is health conscious. Why? Because he's very careful about what he eats. Even though that food may be halal. But is it good for the body or not? No, he won't eat it. So just as a person becomes more and more cautious, then we see, no, he is more health conscious. Likewise for our spiritual food also. If you want to be spiritually health conscious, then a person does not suffice only with the faraid. He does not suffice only with the wajibat. He does not suffice only with the sunan. But he wants to do the mustahabat also. Hazrat Muhammad Sallallahu Rahmatullah used to say, the word mustahab, we look at the Arabic, where it comes from the word istahabba, means to seek the muhabbat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then a person doesn't ask, he doesn't say this is only farz, this is only sunnah, only mustahab. No, because he wants to be spiritually strong. He wants to be spiritually strong. Likewise, the person, he does not only stay away from haram, he does not only stay from the makruh tahrimi, but he wants to stay from the makruh tanzihi also. Why? Because he is spiritually health conscious. He's worried about his spiritual body. So once we have understood these three points, that number one is the hunger that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created for a physical body and a spiritual body. And number two, the type of foods that they have, the good and the bad. And the third one is to be conscious of what we eat. Whether we are health conscious, whether we are physically health conscious
or we are spiritually unconscious. And you will notice, this month of Ramadan showed us that before the month of Ramadan and after the month of Ramadan, just a few days, we were so concerned before the month of Ramadan and after Ramadan, just a few days, we were so concerned about our physical body, the food of our physical body. And we can see the amount of ibadah that we were making. You can see the difference from the day of Eid already. The amount of ibadah, the amount of people in the masjid, you can just see the difference. And just look at the month of Ramadan, when we are paying more attention to our spiritual hunger, and we are giving less attention to our physical hunger. And you could see in the month of Ramadan, what was the situation in the month of Ramadan? The masjids were full. The Quran Sharif recitation, the ibadat, and so many other things that were happening. So what we need to do is that we mustn't become, there mustn't be an imbalance in what we are doing. That we become so concerned about our physical body that we go into the gym and everything and we worry only about the physical body and the spiritual body is dead. Completely dead. But it needs to be a balance. Allah is in His infinite mercy made it so. That Allah Ta'ala made the farz namaz. He made it farz. That during the day, when we become so engrossed, one is we wake up in the first thing in the morning, we are told to come to the masjid and read the fajr salah. The ladies at home read the fajr salah. Then we go to our work. When we come, we become so engrossed in that in our dunya, again the azan goes at zuhr time. Don't forget Allah. Then you have to come back for zuhr. After zuhr, you're going back. And then again you get engrossed. And then Allah Ta'ala calls you again. And then you're so tired, you're going home. You're eating your supper, everyone is enjoying their supper. And at that time, you get so caught up with all, everyone talking that you even forget that is even salah. Allah Ta'ala again makes another call. Then you're coming back for Maghrib and you're coming back for Isha. When you're tired now, you want to go sleep. Allah says, no, you have to come back again. Allah is doing us a favor. That is only the faraid. That Allah Ta'ala is showing us that we don't want you to be spiritually dead. That you have to come and you have to read the salah. At least the salah is keeping us. In that salah, you're reciting Quran Sharif. In that salah, you're making the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the minimum, the bare minimum. Where a person is making the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's doing all these things and he's giving his spiritual body, he's giving it food. He's giving it food. Over and above that, a person will read his nawafil and his sunnahs also. There's a hadith, a Qudsi Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, مَا تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيَّ عَبْدِي بِشَيْءٍ حَبَّ إِلَيَّ مِمَّا افْتَرَطْتُ عَلَيْهِ. That there's nothing that a person can get more closer to me than doing the farz acts. Then doing the farz acts, what Allah has made it, a person is becoming very close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's nothing that can bring you more closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than that. And then the hadith goes on, وَمَا يَزَالُ عَبْدِي يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ. That a person, he continues coming even more close. That is coming close to Allah, but he comes even more close, he continues coming close, بِالنَّوَافِلِ حَتَّى أُحِبُّهُ, until I start loving him also. He continues making nafil acts over and above the farz acts. And then Allah Ta'ala says, and when I love a person, then I become his eyes which he sees, I become his ears which he hears, and I become his hands which he holds, and I become his feet which he walks with. In other words, Allah Ta'ala gives a person tawfiq to do everything what Allah wants him to do. I mean, Allah loves a person, what else do we need? So my point that I was trying to mention is that we need to have a balance in our life. Not only worry about our physical bodies, we need to worry about our spiritual bodies also. Then only we'll find that there will be a balance in our life, and that we will also be fulfilling the rights of the people around us, and we will also be fulfilling the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But now one important point we need to understand. The hunger is there. The food is there. We know which is the right food, we know which is the wrong food. But now the person who wants to eat, he needs to be right also. The person someday got so beautiful food in front of him, his taste buds are all gone off. He's sick. You can put the best food in front of him too also, he doesn't want to eat it also. Likewise also, spiritual food, who doesn't know what is farz? Who doesn't know what is haram? Everyone knows what is farz, everyone knows what is sunnah, everyone knows what are the good actions, what are the bad actions, everyone knows it. But why is it we are not stopping from doing that haram and the wrong things? It's because our spiritual taste buds are gone off. So farz and all the good actions are in front of us. In the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who can be greater than Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Despite him, look at the munafiqeen. Did they benefit from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? The hypocrites, did they benefit from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Sitting in the best of majlises. But they never benefit. What? Allah Ta'ala says, fi qulubihim marad. Their hearts are sick. When their hearts are sick, then obviously you can put Quran in front of the person, you can put the whole Quran, whole sunnah, everything in front of him. But the person is not prepared to listen. Now how do we avoid this? How do we avoid our taste buds going away, our spiritual taste buds going away? So two things are needed. One is our intake. The food that we eat, it is very, very important that it must be not only halal, Hazrat Mullah Umadi Sahib Rahmatullah used to say, not only halal, but tayyib also, it must be wholesome also, and there must be no doubt in it also. No doubt in it also. Because we want to be spiritually strong. So we don't want our taste buds to go, so we must worry about intake. Because in the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala says that our intake has a close link to our amal. Ya ayyuhar rusulu kulu min at-tayyibati wa'malu salihan. Allah is addressing the anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam. Just to mention two incidents quickly. Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullah alayhi, his incident is famous. One day he's making ibadat, but he's not getting that real feeling in that ibadat. So he's thinking to himself, like how all the buzugani did, when they don't feel like making the ibadat, they think to himself, what sin I have done. They don't think what the next person did. So he's thinking to himself, and he couldn't think of it. And he goes to his mother. His mother, a very pious person also, he said, anything can you think about? So in the beginning, she couldn't think of anything. But after some time, she said, you know what? I think something comes to mind. That when I had you in the stomach, when I was carrying you, we know a pregnant lady feels so many things. So the neighbor's fruit, the neighbor's tree, the branch was overlapping into our land. And the fruit was hanging there. I fell for the fruit and took it. And I ate it. So Junaid Baghdadi Rahman said, I think that is the reason. That is the reason. So please go and ask for forgiveness from the neighbors. He went to the neighbors. He asked, they said, no, you can take it. You got full permission. He said, no, you have to forgive me because I didn't ask you. And once he forgave him, immediately he felt that enjoyment coming. Sometimes we don't know what the intake, what we are eating. And because of that, we're not getting the feeling of doing good things also. We're not getting the feeling of doing good things. Many a times we ask, when does the upbringing of the child start? Many people ask, when does the upbringing? The upbringing of the child doesn't start when the child is born. When the child is still in the stomach, the parents have to see how they behave. They will not behave in such a way that they're going against the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Scientists are saying now, that child that is still in the stomach and the parents are listening to music, then when that child comes out, he'll also love music also. Now imagine that those parents, there are incidents of people who while they were carrying their child, they were even making hifz of the Quran Sharif, and when the child came out, he was also hifz of the same paras also. So the upbringing, what we feed our children, what we are eating, is very, very important. So that's the first thing. Another incident of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah ali, he came to meet his ustad, Imam Shafi'i rahmatullah ali. Came to meet his ustad, Imam Shafi'i. Imam Shafi'i rahmatullah ali told his daughter, we're getting a very important guest today. Make sure you make all the preparations. Anyway, he came, he spent the night in the morning. The daughter is telling the father that you said he's a very great guest. I have three objections against him. Number one, is that I saw he ate more than what normally pious people eat. He is eating more than enough, more, extra. Secondly is, he did not eat tahajjud namaz. Number three, he did not make wuzu for the Fajr Salah. In those days, they never had taps. They had the bucket, they would keep the water there. You know who used the water, who never used the water. So I say, never use the water, then he never make wuzu for Fajr. Imam Shafi reprimanded his daughter. He said, you're not supposed to jump into conclusions. You can't just make objections just there and jump into conclusions. You have to find out. Anyway, he's the ustad. He asked Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal Rahmatullah. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal Rahmatullah says, when I sat on the dastarkhan last night and was about to eat, I seen such barakat and such noor in the food that you had that I decided to myself, if I eat this halal food and this food of full of noor, Allah will give me the tawfiq of making extra ibadat. Now these are all pious people talking. We can't talk like that. They could feel actually sense even the barakah and the noor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he ate a little bit extra. And he said, because of the barakah of that food, Allah gave me the tawfiq. Spending the night, did you see different masail and different laws? Whole night. And I did this for, I got so engrossed in that I did not even read my tahajjud. And tahajjud is benefit for me only. But these masail are benefit for the whole ummah. So it's more greater than even the tahajjud. So therefore I did not get the chance, I did not even realize the time also. Otherwise these great imams used to read tahajjud also, they should also deduce laws also. And he said the third thing, is that I did not make wuzu for Fajr, because I still had my Isha wuzu, because the whole night I was deducing laws. So this is the barakah of that halal food. We don't know that when we're eating that halal food, then we will give, feel like doing good actions. Many people, we go for Umrah and we go for Hajj, Allah save us, that we must not eat. Sometimes we say we go right to the haram. One person actually made a statement, that why must I sit so long in the haram? I rather sit outside, I'm getting tired to sit in haram. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Allah Ta'ala save us. But you went all the way there. And this is the comment that he's making. Sometimes we do not realize we are eating certain types of food and we do not have the desire even to make even amal and to make extra ibadah. Allah Ta'ala save us. So that is the very, very important thing, is our intake is very, very important, what we take. And the second thing is, the last thing, we just got a few minutes, the last thing is our company that we keep. Our environment is very, very important. If you're not sitting in good environment, you're not sitting in pious environment. Imagine a person comes into his home, one person is listening to music, another person is watching television, another person is doing something else wrong. You think this person is going to feel like reading Quran? You're not going to feel like reading Quran. The environment in our homes has to be a dini environment, an environment that invites us towards Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That child who growing up at the age of 7, Nabi Sallam says you must command him to read salah. And the age of 10, then you must reprimand him. Do you think that child who from the beginning, from young age, 2-3 years, he was watching when the azan goes, my father goes to the masjid, my mother goes and reads, she reads salah on the musalla, he was seeing it 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. By the time he comes to the 7 years, do you think you have to tell him to go to the masjid? He'll tell you, let's go to the masjid. Because he knows my father is going to the masjid every day. He knows my father is doing good. He knows that before the eating time, the whole family is together, let's have some ta'lim in the house. So he's seeing it all the time. So that is an environment where the child is growing up. According to the environment, a person will make progress. But if the environment is not good, then it's very, very hard for a person to make progress. I'll give one last example and inshallah we'll complete. A person who is sick, he is told by the doctor, don't eat this, don't eat this, don't eat this. But in that house, they're cooking all the things he's not supposed to be eating. Everyone is eating what he's not supposed to be eating. You think this person will have the willpower to eat? He's not going to stay. So what you'll do? You take the same person and you'll put him in the hospital. Allah Ta'ala save us from even the hospitals. All those people that are sick and ill, Allah Ta'ala give them complete shifa and remove them also. But you'll put him in that environment where they will see to his needs and his diets. So likewise also, if we are sitting in a good environment, and then we will see that we will also have the desire to do good. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq, remain the way we were in the month of Ramadan, And Allah Ta'ala give us a tawfiq. And Allahumma sabbitna ala iman. Allah Ta'ala keep us with kamil iman. Take us from the word with kamil iman. Let us wake up on the day of Qiyamah with kamil iman. Wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillah.